The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. John Couch on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show. And together we welcome you to Buckmaster on this Monday, the 22nd of July, 2019. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news talk. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts, very convenient for you at buckmastershow.com. It's an easy archive to use. You can listen to really any of our programs, have them all ready for you. The live line number 790-2040. We'll be talking about Tucson, this sanctuary city measure that might be on the ballot. We'll be talking about that, 790-2040. It's time for our monthly political face-off featuring commentators John Munger. Mr. Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents and Republican candidate for governor. Jeff Rogers, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Gentlemen, how was the weekend? John, good weekend?
Wonderful weekend, thank you.
And Jeff?
Mostly good weekend. Stayed in most of the time. Got out real early in the mornings to get my horses and turn them out. But other than that, I stayed in most of the time.
Well, I thought maybe today would be that day where we get some rain. It started off very overcast, but we'll see. The rain chances are probably the best they've been in a couple of weeks, 50%. We've not seen many 50% days in this very unusual monsoon, Jeff Rogers.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to those rains.
The Monday Political Face-Off is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and moesgallery.com. Well, the latest news on the Sanctuary City Initiative, the Pima County Republican Party, along with three residents, filed a lawsuit Friday night to try to keep the Sanctuary City Initiative off the November ballot. The lawsuit challenges individual signatures, whether paid petition signature gatherers filled the forms out correctly, and argues that the minimum number of signatures required, this is something set by the city, was simply too low. John Munger, your firm, your law firm, is representing the three Tucson residents in this filing. What's the bottom line here, John Munger, as far as you're concerned?
Well, our bottom line is that the city hasn't done its statutory job in a number of ways, which I don't want to bore you with here.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some requirements that the city needs to go through to do the certification for the petition signatures to be certified. The city hasn't done that. In addition, there are many petition signatures which themselves are invalid, and there is a huge number of petitions turned in by petition circulators who, frankly, didn't do it right, have made themselves unavailable by virtue of not filling in their name and full address. So we can't subpoena them as we're entitled to do. And moreover, there are some constitutional arguments, some preemption arguments, some interpretive arguments, but those are pretty much in the weeds for the amount of time we have.
Jeff, this is a sticky situation. You've been there before on some of these challenges.
Yes, we've knocked off. I remember in the first time Jonathan Rothschild ran for mayor, we knocked the Republican off the ballot, as well as an independent, and we also knocked off a fellow supposed Democrat who was running at the same time. So we've had a great deal of success in these election challenges. But for Democrats, this is a very difficult issue. It's no coincidence that no one on the mayor and council of the current members backs this initiative. Like me, they all agree with the sentiments of this initiative. And I believe virtually everything that's contained within this initiative is now currently part of the mayor and council's policies and been incorporated into how the Tucson Police Department does its work. And we saw just a few days ago an article by the current Tucson Police Chief about this same issue.
So yeah, that was in yesterday's op-ed by Christopher Magnus, the police chief.
He lays it out pretty nice.
This thing that jumped out at me, John and Jeff, no partnerships with the FBI to solve missing children cases or other major crimes, according to the chief.
That's shocking.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the chief of police concern about that. That if you start cutting off the feds from cooperation, they will reciprocate undoubtedly, and that's what he's concerned about. He has a good working relationship with the feds. He maintains a pretty good balance, I think, at the police department right now, that is consistent with the city policies. The simple way of saying this is the chief of police is saying this is not needed. We're doing things right. We still have a cooperative relationship with the FBI, and the federal agencies, which we won't have if we adopt this. It's not needed. And moreover, frankly, it's not wanted. The city council doesn't want it. None of the city council wants it. None of the board of supervisors want it. I would imagine, I don't have proof of this, but I would imagine the tourist industry in this city is concerned about the effect on the city. A lot of people won't come visit.
How about economic development, Jeff Rogers?
Well, that's a problem as well. And if we look at, and I'm worried about shared revenue from both the federal government in the forms of grants that come to cities and police departments, and I'm worried about shared revenue from the state. I mean, this paints a target on the back of the city of Tucson for retaliation from both the federal government and the state government. And you know, Florida recently passed a law outlawing sanctuary cities, and I'd rather not see that codified into state law because of other things that they could get into that could be harmful to all cities. So, you know, that's why a lot of people don't back this. And I tell you from personal experience, from my law practice, you know, a lot of the child porn cases are started by Homeland Security and then prosecuted by the county prosecutor or the attorney general's office here. But the initial discovery of these materials coming through the internet is done by Homeland Security. So you're going to tell me that our local police department, who's going to prosecute these cases, can't use the efforts of Homeland Security to find this child porn? I mean, there's all kinds of ramifications of this that could harm the city of Tucson, and if it were necessary, I can see an argument for it, but it's not necessary. We're doing all of the things that this ordinance or this and the other problem here is that this writes it into our charter. So the mayor and council can't go back and say, wait a minute, that's not working very well. They have to go right back to the voters and start over to get anything changed in this. So, you know, it's bad for a lot of reasons. And the sentiment of it is good, and I care deeply about the ideas set forth in it, but it's not necessary to write it into our charter.
And John, the clock is running on this from a legal point of view. You have a very limited window, your firm, in doing your fact finding before going before a judge.
Right. We have to the petition. Once the petitions are certified, we have 5 days to count where the city is wrong, and they're wrong in a lot of places. A lot of places. We have 5 days to count their errors and enumerate them, specify them, and then to get our legal arguments in order, which involve, as I've said, constitutional arguments, state preemption arguments, interpretive arguments, procedural requirements that the city hasn't satisfied. So we have 5 days to get all of that done. Unfortunately, this time the fifth day fell on a Saturday. And so we wanted, for safety's sake, to get it done on Friday, so we really got it done in 4 days.
Let's see what Paul has to say at 790-2040. Paul, what's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for your show.
Thank you.
I haven't heard you mention anything about the loss of sales tax that we will lose because of so many patriotic and military people in this area who will refuse to pay that extra 2.5% sales tax to Tucson. They'll shop at the base or in the county.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, no, he's right. There are just all kinds of ramifications of this bill. We are not of this initiative. We are not attacking the initiative on its face in this this effort, because frankly, we haven't had the chance to go through that and attack it on its base. But there are so many problems with it, and it just alienates everybody. It alienates the police. It alienates the feds. It alienates the council and the board of supervisors. It's going to be expensive, and what we're going to end up with is all of these. We're going to be a magnet for illegal aliens, and guess who gets to pay for them? We get to pay for them.
Well, here's another ramification of this, Paul, is that if this thing passes, the city will have to defend it in court. Let's say there are additional legal arguments that John or other people want to make that are not these technical election challenges, that are more of a state preemption argument, that are more of a state law argument, then you know, those we will have to defend it. And it's expensive to defend these kinds of lawsuits, either hiring outside counsel or even using lawyers within the Tucson City Attorney's Office. So, you know, there are just untold consequences here that we can't even think of them all as we sit here and talk. But I think I wish John the best of luck.
There you go. This is something unusual where we have Jeff Rogers seated to my left and John Munger to my right, both on the same page over this Sanctuary City initiative. When we come back on the face-off, we'll switch gears, and I'm pretty darn sure they're not going to agree on the next topic that I'm going to bring up. My favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. Breakfast, of course, is served every morning at 6:30. Got a great breakfast variety on the menu. They've got the pancakes, the waffles, the eggs, everything you can think of. And, of course, the whole pastry case is just to the left of the grill as you walk in. not politically, but just to the bakery case there as you walk in. You've got the grill there to your right, and then you've got a great variety of pastries to choose from in the case to your left. Open now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com, and on my website, buckmastershow.com, a link to all of our great partners. Our Monday political face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, continues with Jeff Rogers and John Munger right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off on The Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news talk, the Monday Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Jeff Rogers is here, and John Munger. I forwarded to both of you gentlemen, so you could study this, the David Brooks New York Times column that was published on Friday, just an excerpt from that. Mr. Brooks, Jeff, says Trump's vision, President Trump's vision, is radically anti-American. The real American idea is not xenophobic, nostalgic, or racist. It is pluralistic, future-oriented, and universal. Your thoughts, Jeff Rogers?
Well, I completely agree with him. I wouldn't go as far as to say, I would add a different word in there, that Donald Trump hates American values. He doesn't probably hate America per se, but he certainly hates American values. And he's given us, you know, great evidence of it since the very beginning. I mean, even before his racist slurs of last week, we see that he started off his campaign by criticizing Mexicans. His vision of America is to make America as white as possible. And that goes against the grain of everything we cherish and love in this. As he indicates in here, that our America is an America that pioneers new technologies, explores space, combats prejudice, fights totalitarianism, and spreads democracy. In other words, we're a leader in the world. And Trump doesn't buy into any of that, and he certainly doesn't buy into our being in a leadership position in the world today. He's abandoned that leadership position in every which way, including one that's going to endanger us a great deal right now and might lead us into war when he unilaterally pulled out of the Iran treaty on nuclear proliferation. So I think it's fair to say that he doesn't embrace what I consider the great American values that I believe in.
John Munger.
Yeah, the problem with the left is if you don't agree with the left, then you're un-American. And, you know, 63 million people, which is a lot of people, voted for Donald Trump because they believe in his view of what America is. Now, I understand that more than that, people voted for Hillary Clinton. But you can't say that somebody who gets basically half of the vote is un-American, because there's half of the people out there that consider themselves mainstream, and just because you disagree with them, they don't become automatically racist and xenophobic and hate America. Now, the problem is we've gotten into this deal where the Democrats say, you don't agree with me, so you're a racist. You're a xenophobe. That there's no evidence for that. We disagree, frankly, in this country of what racism even is. The byword for all Democrats, you disagree with me, or you disagree with somebody who's of color, and you're a racist. That's just wrong. We're supposed to debate policy issues. You may disagree with Donald Trump on policy issues, but, you know, calling him un-American is as far from the truth. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. Calling him out of the mainstream when he gets 63 million votes, how do you define the mainstream? The mainstream is what a good, strong percentage of the public believes. That's the mainstream of Americanism and the mainstream of America policy and culture. So these guys are just wrong. They translate, you disagree with me, so you're all of these bad things. They ought to stick to the policies and stop the ad hominem attacks on Donald Trump. Let's talk policy. The problem with Congress today is Congress is so busy fighting Donald Trump. They hate Donald Trump. They have hysteria about Donald Trump, and they won't do anything else. And so we need to get back to policy.
Nothing is getting done. Nothing's getting done. Jeff Rogers.
Well, here's the problem is that I disagreed enormously with George H.W. Bush, with Ronald Reagan, and with George W. Bush on a host of policies. But I would have never said that they were ever un-American or not patriotic or didn't love their country. I would have never called them an authoritarian, a wannabe dictator, or anything like that, because they were good, decent people that I just have a difference in policies with. But this man isn't qualified to carry their bags or hold their coat, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, this is a man who started off his election run talking about Mexicans being rapists and killers,
and
then he began to talk about a biased judge in a Trump University case who was biased because he was Mexican. Then he went on to say we're going to have a complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
No, he didn't.
Then in 2017 he complained that immigrants from Haiti all have AIDS. And then he talked about we need fewer immigrants from S-hole countries. And then he talked about caravans of criminals and unknown Muslim Middle Easterners. And then he talked about undocumented migrants as being animals that infest our country. And, by the way, before all of that, he said Obama was born in Kenyan and that he was a terrible student and lazy. All kinds of things that we've had associated with anti-African-American sentiments in this country's history. He frequently criticizes African-Americans as being unpatriotic. I mean, you could go on and on and on from Charlottesville
John,
to whatever.
John, what about this litany that Jeff just cited?
Well, Jeff is, what these guys do is they read half of the quotes. For example, Donald Trump's initial quotes about Mexicans. He said the Mexicans are not sending their best. That means they have good people to send. That's not an attack on the Mexican people. He's saying
John used the word rapist.
Let me finish, please.
He did.
There are a lot of rapists coming over the border, Jeff, whether you want to agree with it or not. And that's what he said they're sending us. They are not sending us, he said, their best. They just conveniently forget the last part of the sentence. They're not sending us.
You're saying it's taken out of context.
It's totally taken out of context. When he said that we are that some of these countries are S-hole countries, yeah, some of them are, and they're sending us some people who are not the quality of people that we have previously taken in. We need a merit-based society where you come in into this country, you can support yourself. You are not dependent upon our welfare. You are not dependent upon our health care system. You can support yourself and you add something to American society. And that isn't what we've been taking in. So they like to take things completely out of context. And they've They're trying desperately to turn this guy into a racist, but he's not.
All right. Tony has called us. Tony would like to add his comment to our discussion. Hey, Tony.
Yeah, I would like to ask your guest which country, in his opinion, is sending their best to us.
Which country is sending its best to America? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That would be one question I would have. And, you know, I'm out here as a layperson. If it quacks like a duck and it walks like a duck, must be a duck.
Well,
thank you.
Well, you need to take his comments in context. The question is not what countries are sending us their best. The question is what countries are sending us their worst. And too many countries are sending us their worst.
Jeff, what do you know?
Let's go back to the turn of the century, from the 19th to the 20th century. People would have been making the same argument about Irish coming to America. And then a decade or two later, it was about Jews weren't the best people. And it goes on and on and on.
Republicans didn't make that argument.
The best people come from all over the world. I mean, I don't think there is a single country that we can say sends us their best. I think that many Mexican-American immigrants have turned out to be, you know, outstanding citizens and wonderful and have gone on to be wonderful successes in America. As a matter of fact, I think the vast majority of them who come over here turn into great successes and become, you know, great Americans. So
I don't think it's a question of that, but
back to Mr. Trump. John, all of these things are things caught on tape. You could just play every one of those things
then
I just
play
read
the
you.
Whole tape, you not play, just the part you want to play.
You don't have to go very far. This is a man who is basically embracing racism as a winning strategy.
He's
shown us that's how he's going to run in 2020. Now, the good news is that I don't think Americans will embrace that, and I think it's a losing strategy. But the other part of the bad news is he's creating a hostile, dangerous atmosphere where somebody's going to get hurt.
Who's creating the hostile, dangerous atmosphere? Let me finish, Jeff. Now, you've had your time.
Did you listen to the tapes of that rally he held?
All right.
Did you listen to that?
He disavowed the chant, send them back.
He said they were great patriots.
He said, sure, they are great patriots, but that doesn't mean he agreed with the chant, and he said he didn't. You take everything out of context, starting with his comments about some of the Mexicans coming across the border were not the best. There is nothing wrong with saying that. You guys want to take everything out of context. You want to take quotes and listen to tapes without listening to the whole quote, and take things out of context. I'm telling you, Jeff, the American public does not buy, the great majority of the American public does not buy that Donald Trump is a racist. They agree with him that we've got to get our borders under control. We cannot have open borders. You want to talk about extremism? You look at the extremism of the Democrat Party, all of their 10 candidates on stage saying they want open borders and they want to give all of these people coming in, free medical care. That is not what America believes in.
Donald Trump is an out-and-out racist.
John Munger and Jeff Rogers. Gentlemen, thank you very much. The Monday Political Face-Off is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news talk here in Southern Arizona. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just about a three-hour drive from the Tucson area, and you'll wind up in a beautiful part of the land of enchantment, Southwest New Mexico. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. I would suggest that as a starting place before you make the trip over there, because there you'll find great places to stay, all the information about accommodations and all sorts of recreation opportunities, including it's a great time of year to do some hiking or fishing, for that matter, in the Gila National Wilderness. All sorts of opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Well, some dogs at Colorado State University's Flint Animal Cancer Center are getting a cancer vaccine. And if it works, could humans be next? Boy, this is really exciting stuff that Stephen Johnson is going to share with us. Professor Johnson is currently the director for the Center for Innovations in Medicine at the Biodesign Institute and the School of Life Sciences at Arizona State University. He's also the director of the Biological Design Graduate Program. He joins us now from Tempe on the live line. Professor Johnson, thanks for being with us. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you very much, Bill.
This is exciting stuff. When I saw this article that was published in CNN, I thought, I've got to get Dr. Professor Johnson on the live line here and talk to us about what's going on. How did all of this start? Why don't you kind of give us the big picture, Professor?
Sure, glad to. I'm an inventor. I've been for most of my professional life, and about 12 years ago, we decided to try to invent something really fundamentally good about dealing with cancer. We saw that as a huge problem and growing problem, and there wasn't much progress at that point, and so, which is ideal for an inventor. And so the first thing we said, well, what would be the ideal solution? The ideal solution would be to have a vaccine. You never got cancer in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the CNN article pointed out that the idea may be tantalizing, but study after study over the past decades has taught doctors that cancer is very personal. In other words, everyone looks different on a molecular level, and each tumor is agile and devious in its own way, mutating as it grows to outwit the human immune system. So this is a long shot, isn't it, Professor?
Absolutely. It is a long shot. and your assessment was slack on. Everybody's data to date testifies that tumors are personal, but that's because of where they were looking. Everybody to date has looked at the changes that take place in a tumor at the DNA level. There's another whole level that's essential for a tumor to survive, and that's the RNA level. They have to process RNA, and nobody thought to look there. And when we looked there, we found that tumors were making a lot of mistakes, a lot more mistakes than they make at the DNA level, and they were making recurrent ones. So that in different breast cancers, we saw that they were making some of the same mistakes. We even saw that in breast cancer and lung cancer, they were making some of the same mistakes. And that seemed to us, it opened up the possibility of maybe making a preventative cancer vaccine. But you're right, the chances of it working are relatively small, but we felt that somebody should take the chance.
Now, why dogs? And are these guinea pigs, for want of a better term, are they healthy older dogs that are being injected, or what's going on there?
Yeah, all of these dogs are enrolled by their owners, and they're consented. They have to be 6 to 10 years old, which is equivalent to about 60 to 80 or 90 in human age. And they have to be in generally good health, and we give them an exam before they enter to make sure they don't have any latent cancer that they didn't know about. If they pass all of those criteria, then they're given our vaccine, which is, you know, painless and straightforward to give them. And then we just monitor them every 6 months to see who gets cancer and who doesn't. There's a control arm and a vaccine arm.
Where was this vaccine developed?
At the ASU, in the Biodesign Institute.
And how many years in the making was this?
About 12.
Wow.
we're kind of slow.
well, it's very time-consuming, I would imagine. What are some of the major roadblocks? And I guess there were quite a few, Professor Johnson, if we had been talking about trying to test the vaccine in humans, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, that was our original intention, was to develop this vaccine and bring it into human clinical trials. But we ran into, you know, trouble, as you said, both in terms of logistical and regulatory and also expense. And so someone suggested that we look into the possibility of testing this first in dogs. And when we investigated that, we found that dogs get cancer at the same rate that humans do over their lifetime. They get a lot of the same cancers, but everything's compressed about tenfold in terms of the time frame and the cost and everything else. So we started a large dog trial. This will be the largest interventional dog trial in the world ever.
Is it just going on at Colorado State, or where is our dogs here in Arizona involved? Tell us about that.
It's at three sites. It's at Colorado State, the University of Wisconsin, and the University of California, Davis. Those are the three sort of premier dog oncology centers in the world, really, and that's why we wanted to have them recruited there. I actually wanted it to be done also in Arizona, since we made the vaccine and everything, but we don't really have a vet school that's far enough along either here or at U of A to sustain this kind of trial.
How will we know, or what time period, what would the chronology be if we know we may be on to something here?
We'll get the first official readout on if it's really preventing cancer about a year and a half from now. We have an independent panel that assesses both safety and efficacy of the vaccine. And what they'll do is that they'll look at the 400 dogs that got the mock vaccine and the 400 dogs that got the real vaccine, and they'll see if there's any difference in cancer incidence.
Tell our listeners, Professor Johnson, about what goes on there at ASU. And I had not, quite frankly, realized that you were doing this kind of work at this Center for Innovations in Medicine. What is that all about?
Well, we're basically an invention center, so we look around and see if we see some area of in biomedicine that looks like it could use an invention. And then we put our guys together, and if we come up with an idea, we have a lot of different skill sets in our center and or ones that we'll call from the outside. And then we bring them in and see if we can make the invention feasible.
And your own background, you say you are an inventor. Were you interested in that as a kid, trying to invent things?
No, actually, I didn't get the bug until I was going to graduate school and saw how much one inventor, Norman Borlaug, had on the world, the guy that invented the Green Revolution. And I thought, gosh, if one guy can have that impact, I'd sure like to try to do the same.
Professor, stick around. I'd like to talk to you and maybe take a little deeper dive into this vaccine after we take our break. How's that sound?
Sure.
All right. With us on the live line, Professor Stephen Johnson, a scientist, inventor, and director at Arizona State University's Center for Innovations in Medicine. If you would like to join on the live line, our number is 790-2040. If you have any questions about the research that's going on, these dogs are getting cancer, a cancer vaccine. Boy, let's hope this works, even though the chance might only be about 10%, certainly it is a chance worth taking. Let's take the break right now on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, Tucson City Councilman Paul Durham will join us, plus Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson and Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report on Buckmaster during the noon hour on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news talk. Anywhere in the world live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news talk in Southern Arizona. Additional support for Buckmaster comes from our favorite nursery in town, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful 13-acre site loaded with everything you need for the garden, all these beautiful plants. But now there's a new addition, Zocalo, all that great merchandise that Zocalo is known for years. They were located by Country Club and Broadway. Well, they're now over part of the Green Things family, the great handmade merchandise, in many cases from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Again, 3384 East River Road. The website is greenthingsaz.com. Well, healthy dogs, middle-aged to elderly dogs are getting their participants in the vaccination against canine cancer study that is going on at three sites in the United States, and spearheading all of this, this work on this research, this cancer vaccine research, is Stephen Johnson, who is the director for the Center for Innovations in Medicine at the Biodesign Institute. He's a professor in the School of Life Sciences at Arizona State University. He's also director of the Biological Design Graduate Program. He's with us now on the live line. What about interest, Professor Johnson, in big pharmacology? Have they taken notice of this study?
No. The traditional cancer field is pretty uninterested in this. Partly, as you laid out earlier, they're pretty convinced that this is not possible. So we that's part of the reason we went in dogs. The dog community has been much more enthusiastic about trying this idea out and getting it tested. And so we decided, well, we'll do this thing in dogs. If the vaccine works in dogs, it's pretty convincing. It would probably we designed this vaccine so it's almost the same components that we would use in people we use in dogs. So we're pretty confident if it works in dogs, it'll work in people.
I'm curious about PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. They have opposed experiments where animals are held in artificial conditions and then put down. This is different, correct?
Yes, absolutely. These are we advertised in the areas around the Madison and Fort Collins and Davis, and we were for any owner that met these criteria to bring their dogs in. The dog owners bring them in. They're informed. They sign an informed consent for their dogs. We haven't had any dog object to being enrolled. And so we think this is about as ethical as you could possibly conduct such a trial. It's the same sort of format as you would use for a human trial. All the dogs live at home. In fact, we want that. We want the same kind of dogs that would actually get the real vaccine be part of the trial.
And again, I want to go back now. If this vaccine works, say, let's hope, let's keep our fingers crossed, it does prevent cancer in the animals, you would think there then would be a pretty good chance it would translate over to humans?
I'm almost positive, because we've tested this vaccine, you know, in thousands of mice, and so we're pretty confident it'll work there. But that mice are not anywhere near what a real dog is. Dogs have cancer that arises just like it does in people. Whether it's breast cancer or bone cancer, brain cancer, those cancers look almost exactly the same between dogs and people. And back to you raised an important point about people. Part of the reason people worry about cancer being so hard to treat is because it has so many stealthy mechanisms and things like this. Well, the important part about what we're doing is that we're trying to capture this, have the immune system go after the cancer at a very early stage when there's only a few cells there. So they haven't had the chance to evolve all those stealthy kind of mechanisms that they have when you're trying to treat a cancer that has billions of cells in it and has been there for tens of years many times.
Simply put, explain to our listeners, Professor, vaccines prepare your body so that, I guess, in case of war, your body is ready to go do battle with whatever infection. Simply put, how does that process work?
So our vaccine will work almost the same, exactly the same way as your flu vaccine works. So when you get the flu vaccine, you give all the components of the flu, but not an active flu virus to your system. Your immune system doesn't know the difference between a live and a dead flu, and it reacts to that in such a way that it gets the immune system all set up and pre-armed, just as you pointed out, so that when you actually do get exposed to the live flu virus, your immune system is already set to go and actually has a week to 2 weeks head start on going after the flu. That's why it protects you. If you gave that same vaccine after you got infected with the flu, it wouldn't work. And our vaccine is the same principle. We're going to give the immune system pieces of what the tumor produces that are foreign. We're going to give that ahead of time so that when the tumor cell first starts and starts acting like a tumor cell and presenting these foreign bits, your immune system is already prepared to go after it, if it works that way.
Now, the concept of cancer vaccines has been around for decades. And in fact, we have two vaccines that we can point to, Professor, don't we, that have actually been effective in preventing cancer. Would you articulate that for us?
Yes, there are two. There's the HPV vaccine and the hepatitis B vaccine. Both of those vaccines prevent cancer. Now, the HPV vaccine wasn't licensed as a cancer vaccine. It was licensed as a STD infection vaccine. But they prevent cancer by blocking the virus that causes cancer. So they're fundamentally different than solid tumor cancers that people get, non-viral cancers. But the principle was the same. You vaccinate ahead of time, you prevent the HPV infection, and therefore the virus cannot cause the cancer later on. Now, as you said, other vaccines, there's been vaccine efforts for over 30 years to give a vaccine to people after they get cancer. And those have been almost a total failure for 30 years, and lots of billions of dollars spent on this. And the reason, there were two reasons. One is that they were using the wrong components. They were using components that weren't foreign to the tumor. They were using your own self antigens. So your immune system had a hard time telling those antigens from the foreign bits in the tumor. So you didn't mount a very good immune response. And then the other thing is they're trying to attack cancer after it's had all those years of to evolve. And have lots of numbers, you know, large number of tumor cells. So you're really fighting an uphill battle. And between those two reasons, that attempt basically failed for 30 years.
Getting back to the chronology with the effort that's underway with the healthy dogs, if some of these dogs do develop cancer tumors, would that necessarily signal that the effort had failed?
Well, it would have. That's one of the endpoints, just that we prevent. We're not, we don't necessarily think that no dog in our vaccine group will get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The study is designed to look for at least a 30% reduction in cancer incidence.
That's an very important point.
It is. And so, and if we reduced cancer by 30% in our country, we would be celebrating, right? It would
mm-hmm.
be a huge economic and health benefits. So that the study is geared to even detect that 30% reduction. But we're also looking for other things. Do we actually delay the time of onset of tumors? So the dogs are getting fewer tumors, but later. And we're also looking to see if it prevents metastasis, because 90% of the people that die of cancer die from metastasis from the original tumor. And so if we can prevent metastasis from taking place, we'll effectively have prevented deaths from cancer also.
When do you expect to start getting some results?
Well, The official readout won't start till about a year and a half from now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. I think this is incredibly exciting, and even if it is a long shot, which I think everybody agrees, I think it is certainly worth the effort, Stephen Johnson, and I really appreciate you taking part in our discussion.
Well, thank you very much. They're very good questions.
Thanks a lot.
Adios.
Stephen Johnston, with us on the Buckmaster Show, currently the director of Center for Innovations in Medicine, doing a lot of good work up at Arizona State University. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. And we thank our engineer, producer, John Couch. On the other side of the glass, Jennifer English is next with her program Around the Table. But for Buckmaster, we are off and running on a new week, the last full week of July already. Hard to believe. That'll do it for Buckmaster. Have yourself a great afternoon and evening.